Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited, hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. Good evening to everyone, and on behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, we welcome you all to the IFGL Refractories 1Q FY24 earnings call. We are delighted to host the management, and from their side, we have their CEO, Mr. Kamal Sarda, and their CFO. So, without taking much more time, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Kamal Sarda for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Kamal, sir.
Thanks, Sahil. Good evening, friends. Thank you for joining IFGL's Quarter 1 FY24 earnings call. I have with me Amit Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. We have uploaded the results and also the presentation on the stock exchange, and I hope you all have had a chance to go through the same. Just a brief on the industry. In general, the refractory industry has been performing well, barring some weaknesses in Europe because of macroeconomic factors and the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Considering the steel industry's viewpoint, the subdued global economic recovery has had some dampening effect on the worldwide steel production. But steel industry in India is on an expansion mode, catering to increased demand of government's initiatives for bolstering infrastructure development and capital goods manufacturing. India's steel consumption has grown by over 10% Y-on-Y in FY 2022-23. To align with the steel industry's growth in India and its transition, IFGL has undertaken a massive expansion program in all its locations in India. Pursuant to our ongoing capital expenditure strategy, we are pleased to share that we are embarking on the establishment of a new manufacturing facility in Odisha. We have received the green light from the Government of Odisha Investment Promotion Authority, EPCOL, for the establishment of this new manufacturing site. We've also got the approval of the land. The location is yet to be finalized. The projected expenditure for this facility will be approximately 150 crore and will be funded through both loans and internal accruals. This upcoming state-of-the-art manufacturing facility is intended for production of continuous casting refractories with an annual capacity of 240,000 pieces. The commencement should start immediately after the land is acquired, and it should take about 18 to 24 months to complete. We have selected Odisha for this new project because Odisha, from the present 30 billion ton, is set to grow impressively and massively to 130 billion ton by 2030-31. This exponential growth is reinforced by Odisha's rich resources, a good infrastructure, a skilled workforce, and a promising trajectory marked by a robust concentration on steel manufacturing, as I said. Moving to our current capacity expansion initiative at our current manufacturing facilities, the aggregate estimated capital expenditure is about 177 crore, which may slightly come down to 160 crores because of some readjustment of capex. In both in Odisha and Vizag, we have spent approximately 50% of the planned capex so far, and in Kandla, we have completed almost, we have spent about 90% of that. The remaining capex is expected to be completed by March 24. Our state-of-the-art research center at Kalunga is almost ready and likely to be operationalized in Q3 FY24. With these enhanced capacities and new production capabilities, we expect to improve the scale of business, which will lead to scaled benefits and operating leverage playing out in the long-term for the benefits for the company. I now hand over to Amit Agarwal for giving you a brief on the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. For the quick overview, let me just give you the brief on the financials. Starting with the standalone financial highlights, total income increased by 2% year-on-year to rupees 230 crore in Q1 FY24. EBITDA increased by 63% year-on-year to rupees 46.5 crore in Q1 FY24, highest ever trade rate for the quarter. EBITDA margin stood at 20.2% Q1 FY24 with increase of 760 basis points year-on-year. PAT was up by 88% year-on-year to rupees 22.5 crore in Q1 FY24. Now let me move to consolidated financial highlights. Total consolidated income increased by 19% year-on-year to rupees 427 crore in Q1 FY24. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 72% year-on-year to rupees 59 crore in Q1 FY24. Consolidated EBITDA margin stood at 13.9% in Q1 FY24 with an increase of 430 basis points year-on-year. Consolidated PAT was up by 104% year-on-year to 29.6 crore in Q1 FY24. We are pleased to announce that we have achieved highest ever revenue, PBT and PAT EBITDA in our company history for a quarter. I think with this, we shall now leave the floor open for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. On the touchtone telephone, if you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditi Sawant from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is, could you please provide information on how the funding for the new 150 crore project in Odisha will be arranged?
So we have not yet finalized this project. Will commence after the land acquisition takes place. So it should take about a couple of months. But definitely it will be funded by both internal approvals as well as loans.
Okay, got it. And the second is, based on the information presented, what are the projected revenue goals for this specific project in Odisha?
I think I mentioned somewhere, if I'm not wrong, with the current capacities, the peak turnover will be somewhere around 150 to 200 crores. And then we have the scope of putting up more facilities in that land. We are acquiring more land for that purpose.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is on the line of Divti from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, can you list down the key difference in business profile of us versus our competitors, like RHI and Vesuvius?
I don't know what is that. Can you ask a specific question? That's a very generic, this you can always get it from the market as well.
Right. I wanted to understand basically in terms of product differentiation, what kind of offering are we providing in the market, given that they are able to have a much higher margin profile over the years. So wanted to understand the key difference. Why have we been lagging behind the industry standards?
Now, if you look at our last 2-3 years margin, I don't think we are lagging behind. Of course, they have a wider product basket. We must agree that they are a very large company. They are a foreign company based in India. We are Indian companies based out of, we have facilities outside India as well. But the product, barring the product profile difference, I don't think we have a very significant different margin profiles.
Okay. And last two quarters, sir, we have been able to do good 13% margins. So going forward, sir, what are the sustainable levels that we are hoping to get in future?
In my last call, I mentioned we should be above 12%. So that's the sustainable margin which we have mentioned, 12% plus. And I think in the last couple of, not couple of, last three, four quarters, we are around that.
Right. All right, sir. I'll join back in with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Parth Vasani from KK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to know, I had two questions. So considering the Odisha's prominent status in the steel industry, so what is the perspective on the current and future outlook of this sector in the region?
I mentioned in my speech, I think you missed, the current capacity, steel manufacturing capacity in Odisha is somewhere around 30-35 million tons, and which is stated to expand to 130 million tons plus by 2030-31. So 130 means Odisha is going to produce almost like 40%-45% of the Indian steel. So that's the, I would say, the opportunity in Odisha.
Okay. Great. So that helps. So my second question was on, I mean, what specific type of products are we aiming to manufacture at the Odisha plant? And I mean, given the overall improvement in our company's margins, so can we anticipate that these products could contribute to the higher margin side? Can you give some guidance on that side?
So we will be producing continuous casting refractories, which is used in the Tundish in steelmaking side of the steel industry. And definitely, these are considered to be higher margin products because of the higher technology. And this will be a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility with one of the best technologies which we have within the group. And we hope with this, the margins should be better.
Okay, sir. Got it. So that's great to hear, sir. Yeah. That's it from my side for now. I'll turn back to you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dhiral Shah from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if I look at your segmental mix and when I look at your India revenue, sir, on a YoY basis, the revenue has remained flat. But when I look at the steel growth under the data, industrial data, the steel industry has grown almost 7%-9%.
Gentlemen, I think there is some disturbance at your back end. I'm unable to hear you properly.
My question is on India revenue side. So when I look at your India revenue on a YoY basis, it is almost remained flat. But when I look at the IIJA data and the steel industry growth particularly, so it has almost grown at 7%-9%. But our growth has.
I'm unable to hear you properly. Your question is coming a bit smudged.
Mr. Shah, may we request you to come to a quieter place and then ask questions?
Am I audible, sir? Am I audible?
You are, but your question is getting smudged.
Okay. So at the revenue side, so when I look at your India revenue on a YoY basis, it has almost remained flat. But when we look at the IIP data, and particularly in that the steel sector growth, so steel sector has almost grown 7%-9% in terms of production. But our revenue has remained flat. So any particular reason for that?
No. This could be quarterly aberrations here and there, but I think we have grown. If you look at our growth between 2021-2022, and 2023-2024, we have grown. I think our growth is almost like 8%-9% compared to the previous quarter.
Okay.
possible?
There could be a quarterly here and there, but I think we have grown between the March 22 figures, March 23 figures, and June 24 figures. So June 23 figures.
And so what is the outlook for the India business side for the full year FY24?
So I we should be growing at around 10 to 15%.
Okay, and so what is the current capacity utilization across the plant that we have?
It should be about 70% across.
Okay, and so this is across the product that we manufacture?
Yes.
Okay, and so any reason for the sharp improvement in the margins in the overseas business particularly?
Sorry?
Any particular reason for the improvement that we have seen in the overseas business? So what are the steps that we have taken which has led to the very good improvement in the overseas market?
If you are comparing with the quarter one of 22-23 compared to quarter one of 23-24, if you recollect, we have acquired the Sheffield refractories in February 23. So in the first quarter, Sheffield refractories full quarterly figures have come in. So that is one of the thing, but other than that, I think all the other our US subsidiaries have done comparatively well. They had not done well in the first quarter of last year.
Okay, got your point. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Anubhuti Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So first question is existing for, I just wanted to understand how much revenue did Sheffield contribute this quarter and what it was for us in the fourth quarter last year?
Well, I think in the last year it was around 20 crores, and in this quarter is about 54 crores.
54 crores. Okay. And I just wanted to understand more specific to Sheffield. So Europe margins were sequentially compressed sharply this time around. So was this related to Sheffield or there was some runoff in the European business?
No, there's nothing which is one-off here. It's just the general margin trend which is there.
Okay. Okay, so Sheffield margins are also more in line with what our European existing margins
are. Yes, please.
Okay. And sir, with respect to, I think, 150 odd crores, excluding that Odisha expansion, what we are doing, the other capex plans will be, will that be contributing anything in this year?
So this year, only the Vizag plant has been commissioned in 2021 and 22, so that has contributed a bit of it. But rest of that is getting commissioned by middle of this year and end of this year.
Okay. And what can we basically bake in with respect to how much revenue can this incremental capex help us? Maybe any asset turn or how much can we expect for the combined capex to help us in top line?
On the brownfield expansion, I mentioned on the peak full capacity level, it will be around 3x. On a greenfield, I have already mentioned in the Odisha new plant, which will take about 1.5 to 2 years time to complete.
Okay, so and Odisha would contribute how much on the greenfield part?
About 150 to 200 crores at the peak level.
Okay. 150 to 200 crores. Okay.
Yes.
And sir, just one last question. If you can give a color of how the overseas guidance on how the overseas business outlook is looking as of today, and US and Europe.
See, Europe is still having some issues. We hope that H2 should be better. So if there is a recovery in H2, European companies or European market should do well. US is doing well. U.S. is doing, I think, comparatively well. So U.S. will continue to remain at a good levels in this year, this financial year also.
Okay. Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divithi from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have some follow-up questions. So on the CapEx side, have we developed the technical know-how in-house currently?
Sorry, which side you're talking about? What is that?
On the capacity expansion that we are doing, all the technical know-how that is available with us is in-house right now, or are we sourcing it from somebody else?
No, everything is our own developed. And then to add to that, we are putting up this research center, which is going to get operationalized in quarter three. So that will add to our technical strengths.
Right. So we have not been using Kurosaki's technical know-how for the last 5-6 years, if I'm not wrong, correct?
Maybe more than 10-15 years.
Okay. And so my next question is, can you throw some light on after-sales services to our clients as to how efficient we are? And just some details on that would be good.
Our products are all consumables. So in that, there is nothing called after-sales service. They are a service when the product is sold. So we sell those products and also make, do the application contracts also.
All right. All
right. Most of the contracts in India are apply and supply. Sorry, okay. Supply and apply, other way around.
Okay, sir. So one number-specific question that I had. In FY21, after the change in the Income Tax Act, we were not supposed to amortize our goodwill, which, we passed as a special resolution to write it off as one-time payment and just adjust it against reserves. But even after that, we have been amortizing goodwill every single year. So going forward, how are we going to adjust? Are we doing it one time, or we are just going to let this entire amortization happen?
We will continue with the amortization till the goodwill is there. I think we have 4 years left. So I think we were advised not to go in for such kind of adjustments.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But that, in any case, it's a non-cash item which will get amortized over a period of time. It's a non-cash charge.
Right. But sir, if I was under the impression that under income tax we are not allowed to amortize goodwill anymore and we have to either adjust it against your deferred
tax. No. There are two things. Under income tax, they will not be allowed as a deduction. Okay,
right.
So that's one part of the story. And the second is that amortize, because since the goodwill is already created, as per the Indian accounting standards, the new account in the AS, we have to amortize this over a period of time. So we will continue with the amortization. That's I think we have done it, mentioned that it will be done in 10 years. 6 years already passed, 4 years is left. So 24, 25, 26, 27. Till it will be done, till FY27.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nandi from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, please.
Sir, recently we have bought a stake of 15% from...
Can you speak a bit loudly, please?
Now I am audible, sir?
Yeah, you are, but speak a bit loud, please.
Yeah. So, recently we have taken the 15% stake from our Japanese parent, like Kurosaki. So, what is our thought process going forward, sir?
So, I don't... That's the promoter's call. So, I don't... what will be the thought process. The promoter stake will go to 72.6% after acquiring the Kurosaki shares. I'm not too sure what they have a plan to. So they have a reposed confidence in the company, and mm-hmm. hence they have acquired these shares, or they are in the process of acquiring these shares.
Got it. So can you please guide some price lines at what price we are going to acquire the shares? Or
it is already mentioned in the stock exchange it will be acquired at 200. That's the 200. Rate as which the agreement was signed.
Got it, sir. And can you just guide us on the overall top line growth, what we can achieve going forward, considering all those capexes in Orissa and some other capexes, like what kind of top line we can expect?
What we have mentioned in the past, I will maintain the same, that we are talking of doubling our turnover in 5 years' time, from 2021 to 2026.
And that the margin will be expected at 12% fixture.
So that's our plan of action. That's how the capex and all other things are in the same line.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. Come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Couple of questions. One is that if I look at our revenue mix over the last couple of years, our traded goods in standalone has actually gone up substantially, right? Now, the capacity which you have, first is what led to that, and second is the capacity which we are actually building, whether it will actually reduce the bought out item and thereby increasing the margins. How does one think about that?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, some of the products which we plan to manufacture, I think we are trying to source it so that we are into that business already. Like magnesia carbon bricks, we are presently importing from importing and selling, and we are putting up that plant in Vizag. So that will, significantly switch from traded to manufactured goods. And obviously, when we manufacture, the margins will improve from there.
Got it. So the capacity which you are building, putting up, right? And how much is actually you have thought through the demand? See, one is definitely the traded goods mix will change. And second, where are you trying to get
other than magnesia carbon bricks, which we are importing and selling? Other than that, all are new capacities and new product lines.
Got it. And this would be there will be a mix of domestic and international, or how do you think about it?
The Kandla plant is because it's in a special economic zone, so that capacity is meant for exports. But Vizag and Rourkela, whatever capacity addition, are mainly for domestic market. But then we are free to export from there also.
Got it. And what kind of demand offtake certainty you have, in a sense that is there a clear market which you want to organic growth which you are going to handle from there, or you intend to get market share from some other players? What is the thought process?
It will be a mix, but primarily if you look at, I mentioned that in the Orissa market, Orissa state from the current level of 30-35 million tons to 130 million tons in about 8-9 years time. That itself is a huge capacity expansion in India that will increase the demand significantly. So, major part of the demand, the additional demand will come from the new capacities.
Got it. And if you look at last year, our export benefits has actually declined from 10-odd crores to almost 3 crores after the annual report, right? Is it directionally would go down, or is it because of the RoTEP plan that it will actually get augmented elsewhere? How does one think about the export benefits?
So, in the past, I don't know how much you are aware of. So we had this MEIS scheme. So there was a huge backlog which the government decided to hold back, and they released, they had given a, sort of a window where they allowed all the old MEIS to be released. So that was there in the past. And now it is only RoTEP which is there as a export incentive. So I think the current levels would continue as it is. Nothing one time or a big chunk from 3 crore to 10 crore will not happen.
Got it. So coming to made in India, sold in India revenues, right? What percentage is actually into flow control devices and what is the non-flow control devices, broadly the mix, and how that has actually changed over the last 5 years?
So most of the products which we make in India is in the ladle and dung dish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the quarter one FY24, our domestic sale was around 60% of the total sale. So that most of it is in the ladle and dung dish area.
Got it. So one suggestion regarding your investor presentation, if you can also add the performance on a quarterly basis, if possible, of your international businesses separately, like the one which you give in the annual report, it will be helpful for us to understand your different international subsidiaries, how they have been performing.
I think what is more important is how the company is doing as a whole. There's no point of going so much of detail into what our individual subsidiaries are doing. We do changes here and there, but what is important is to project that what is Indian operations doing and what is our overall company performance, on a consolidated level. So that is where we thought that we must focus on, and that's where we will try and push our performance to the investors as well as the research team, instead of going into too much of a detail into and bogging everyone, what is each individual company doing, and there'll be lot of questions which are possibly what you are more interested in. What is the overall company doing? That's how we would like to keep our focus in the investors' presentations as well.
Got it. And one
I will take your suggestions. I will discuss with my managing director.
Whatever is suitable to you.
So I will discuss this. I've taken your suggestion. Thank you.
Regarding one last question regarding the refractory industry in India, particular, right? So while on one side we are having increased steel production and also high quality steel that is going to come up, I see that there are industries consolidating now. How do you see it over the next 5 years? The top top 5 players in the industry would shape up? Are you already seeing significant consolidation like what we hear?
See, in my personal view, the large part of consolidation has already happened. If you look at in today's refractory industry segment, the top 5 companies would contribute almost 60 or maybe around 2/3 of the Indian refractory. I think the consolidation scope is there. I'm not ruling it out. But already the large companies are already acquired by large groups, or here and there the consolidation has already taken place. But then, but more than that, then it goes into that that sort of a, one company becoming too big.
I think
the major part of consolidation, to me personally, looks like is over.
Got it. Thank you, sir. I'll get back into you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello.
We have the next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir.
Yes, Mr. Iyer, you may proceed with your question.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. If I heard it right, you said the capacity utilization is around 70%. So just to get the idea about the industry, what is the usual maximum capacity utilization that the industry can reach? Is it 80-85?
I'm not been able to hear your question. Can you repeat? It looks like there is a network issue somewhere, either at your end or at my end.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, this is better. This is better. Yes, looks like.
This is better. Yeah. Okay, fine. Just to get the understanding of the industry as a whole, I mean, if I heard it right, you are running your capacity at 70% utilization as of now. So what is the maximum utilization usually that this industry can reach? Like, it is 80, 85, or is it like a product where it can reach 95, 100 as well?
Yeah. Some products it can, it has in our company also, some products we are already running at 100% capacity. So it can go to 100%, why not?
Okay. Right. Since I'm new to the industry, I'm just getting the hang of things, right? Another thing is, see, interesting to.
I'm sorry, it looks like. It looks. Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Hello? It looks like there's a network problem. I don't know where is the network problem, at my end or your end. I am unable to hear your question at all.
I can hear you correctly. Hello, am I audible?
Which means the network is at my end. Yeah, you are audible, but your question gets, sometimes, some part of it I'm unable to hear.
Okay, sir. I'll probably get back in queue then. Not a.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from CCIPL.
Hi, sir. I want to understand the price realizations in Q1 and Q2, and as compared to previous years. And I want to know that have we taken any drop in the price realizations? And sir, firstly, I would like to understand what is the outlook for FY 2024 in terms of top line and bottom line?
So top line, I mentioned we are talking of growth somewhere between 10%-15%. And I think somewhere or the other, I had mentioned we are talking of a consolidated turnover of 1,750+.
All right. And what kind of margins can we expect in FY 2024?
So consol, my guidance is about 12%+ EBITDA margins.
All right. And what have the price realizations been in Q1 and Q2, and how do they compare it with, say, the same period last year?
So, in the Q1, we have got some indications of price relations to be going down. Q2 will also see something, but I think it's compensated by the overall softening of raw materials, softening of freight rates, softening of fuel costs. So to a large extent, I think that it will compensate that. But we'll have to watch in Q2 full or maybe FY 2023, 2024 full year. Because orders keep on coming, and they are all like continuously keep on coming. But yeah, there is a pressure on price reduction.
All right. So the 1,750 CR target that we have set, would it still stand if the prices stay at the lower level?
Yes.
All right. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajvi Shah from Moneycurve Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, are domestic sales currently showing an increase, and what percentage of Indian business turnover do they constitute? And could you provide some perspective on whether this proportion is expected to change in the future?
So, we have put a very specific focus on the domestic steel industry. Domestic marketing team and entire, focus has been given a good big boost. So we expect the domestic business to grow faster. Having said that, the European business is down because the, sorry, the export business is down because of the slow Europe, slowness in the Europe and the Middle East segment. Once that improves, we expect the export also to grow back, come back.
Okay, sir, it helps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kartik Shah from Point Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So yeah, I have one question for you, sir. So government aims to cover some refactors in PLI 2.0 next scheme. So how will this change things for us, and by when is this likely to be announced? Any ideas?
No, we don't know when it will be announced. So we have to wait what kind of PLIs they announce for the refractory industry. So once they announce only, then we'll be able to say exactly what do they mean by... I think there was some news article in the newspaper today also. But we'll have to wait what they announce. Wait for the scheme details. And then only we'll be able to say that whether it benefits the entire refractory industry or specific refractories.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nandi from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just to line up questions, like our peers named Vizivius, they are trying to come up with some new product called mold powder. So are we planning to put some premium product apart from our existing products what we make so as to improve our margins?
I'm sorry, I'm unable to hear.
Sir, I'm just trying to say, like, our peers, Vizivius, they have came up with a new product kind of like mold powder, which will be a margin accretive business. So are we planning to put some products in our line from which we can improve our overall margins?
So all the product line which we are trying to put are for both, a top line and bottom line growth. So we are also putting that mold casting flux or mold powder plant in our Vishakhapatnam plant.
Okay, we are doing that thing.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, are we manufacturing any running mass or products like that in our portfolio?
Yeah, we do manufacture.
Okay. And sir, are we planning to use some recycled refractories like what RHA has guided to be using that thing in their product line to which they can reduce?
We already do it. It's continuous process.
Oh.
No, we are already doing it. We already do recycling of our internal rejects, also try and use some rejects from the steel plants which we bring back, our own products which are used.
Can you please, so
that recycling has to be done because...
Okay.
I don't know, I think we should be doing about 10-12% of our total...
10-12%. Got it, sir. That's it. Thank you for my attention. Yes. Wish you all the best.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you again. So if I just look at your standalone raw material purchase, we purchased close to 30 crores of refractory from our China Monocomp, right? Tianjin Monocomp. Can you just help me understand what exactly we purchase? Is it the raw material we purchase for making something, or is it the finished product itself we buy from them?
It is a mix of both. It's a mix of both because they are stationed there. What in China is what happens is sometimes you need to inspect the goods, and they would like to sell in RMB.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how they try to do business. So that's why it's a mix of both raw material as well as some of the finished products also which we import through our Chinese operations.
Got it. So if I look at our India sales, what percentage actually goes to these large integrated steel companies, and how much is to the tier 2 steel companies like Usha Martin and the likes, right, Kalyani, etc. And how that mix has actually changed. The reason why I'm asking this question is that, a couple of years back when we met, you talked about we getting into some of the JSW large things in a very very large manner, right? So I just want to understand how our mix of
we are present in all the large steel mills,
correct,
including the public sector plants. Yeah, we're there in all the steel. You talk of JSW, you talk of JSPL, if you talk of Tata Steel, definitely Tata Steel Kalinganagar presence is comparatively smaller, but we are trying to increase our share there. But then we are present in almost all the large steel mills in India.
Got it. Then, given that Tata refractories itself has actually become quite large, right? Is it one of the reasons where our share in Tata Kalinganagar has actually come down?
No. There is no linkage to that at all. Tata refractories is no more a Tata Group company. It's a Kurosaki Group company. So any kind of the earlier preferential treatment, I don't know whether what is the status of that as of today.
So in our
but India, they are no more a Tata refractories. They are a TRL Kurosaki Limited.
Got it. Okay. They don't have preferential. That's interesting. So in our India sales, how much is too large? I mean, now that you said you are across all, but what percentage broadly is it, like 80-90% to these large, SAIL, JSW, and Tata's, and what is the mix between large and
see TRL? for us, we don't differentiate that. I don't have that figure right now. For us, a customer is a customer. As I mentioned, we are present in all the large steel mills, including the public sector undertaking, and the business is growing. That's what is more important for us. I don't have those figures. How much is large and how much large is growing, how much small is growing. But every segment is growing. That much I know. And every steel mill which was small in maybe 5 years back, today is a very large steel mill.
Okay.
So we cannot afford to differentiate someone with a small steel mill or a large steel mill. Yeah, there is a mini mill segment, yes, and there is the other segments. So that is what it is. Both these segments are growing fast.
Got it. So there is definitely a movement towards giving refractories as a solution, and also there is a significant amount of technology is also going in terms of automating refractories, etc., right? How are we thinking about it, and how much of our revenues come from these kind of solutions, right? Saying that X number of heats, this can actually withstand, right? So what has it changed over the last couple
more than somewhere around 80% of our revenues, like not 80, about say 70% of our revenues come into the performance contracts, which we call it like. Performance contract means either a per heat or a per ton of steel produced, and we are paid by that. So around 70% of the domestic sale business comes from that.
Got it.
And that should be the breakup for any other refractory company.
Sorry?
It could have been about 50% or it could have been about 50%. So that is now increasing.
Got it. And in terms of
I don't have the figure, but I'm just guessing.
Got it. So there is talk about automation in refractory industry in terms of how the products are being applied, right? How we are picking up that challenge, and I mean, how are we poised to
automation in the Indian steel application is very, very limited. Very, very limited. There's hardly any automation. So I think it's some sort of a marketing tool which somebody is trying to apply. But in Indian steel industry, the automation is hardly any.
No. And know, there are multiple ways of.
It's more about safe application practices, which of course definitely we are very clear on that these application procedures have to be very safe.
And sir, in terms of our repeat business, right, is it fair to assume that almost all of our business is repeat business?
Yes.
Got it. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital for closing comments.
Yeah, so I just wanted to thank Kamal sir and Amit sir for patiently answering all the questions, and also want to thank all the participants on behalf of Monarch Networth for joining the call. Kamal sir, would you like to give any closing comments?
No, I think thank you very much. It has been a good question answer session. I hope I've been able to answer most of the queries. And in case you have any further queries, you can contact SGA, our investor relation advisors. And thank you all very much for the participation, and thanks, Mark, for hosting this call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.